Blog Talk Radio.
Congratulations! As part.
Well, here we are once again, Blog Talk Radio listeners, and we are here to learn the word, hear the word, and let's enjoy the word. So, do you have your sword? Let's go ahead and get right into the word. We're going to start with our prayer tonight, and we're just thanking God for just another opportunity to sit down and just bless the word with each other. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask your surrounding peace to just envelop our hearts, envelop our minds and our thoughts right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that whatever it is that we come tonight in need of, that you just open us up and that we may receive it, and that we may apply it and start to walk in the glory and the graciousness of your word. And, Father, and may it be a powerful word that once we're there that we can then spread the word on and teach someone else. May I decrease in every mind and spirit and soul that's represented here tonight. Just decrease and stand back as we invite you to come and be a part of us and to just show us what it is that we're needing from you. To be there with us and around us like the walls around Jerusalem. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And you're worthy. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you're so awesome. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah, Blog Talk listeners and all of the new listeners. We just give you praise and we glorify and magnify your name. And we just thank you for taking out the time to be a part of the ministry. I thank everyone for the prayers for the ministry. Just thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. You're just awesome. Because nobody is greater. Nobody is greater than Jesus. Nobody's greater than him. Nothing is greater than his word. There's nobody greater than him. So we praise him. We lift up his name. Nobody is greater than the word.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and my years ahead. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Couldn't find nobody.
Come on, let's go dance for real in here. Come on.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singer, and let's just give him the glory.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody greater.
Know that he's great. And I want you to know that wherever you're searching for right now, there is nobody greater. I want you to know that when you're feeling that you just need your idol and you're looking for something, there's nobody greater. I don't know why the world has fed up and continues to feed into our minds, into our hearts that the joy is everywhere else except in the Word of God. There's nobody greater. I don't care where you look. There's nothing you can put inside of you other than the Word of God that's going to fill that void. It's not alcohol. It's not liquor. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's not a sport. It's not a recreational thing. It's nobody greater. Hallelujah. Will you stop your search tonight? Knock. He's knocking on the door to your heart. He's giving you the answers to what your questions you've been asking. But will you just stop searching? Stop running around in circles. What are you looking for? Nobody's greater. Oh, I come to tell you tonight, nobody is greater than Jesus Christ. He is the one. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. It's not going to get any better than this. And I come to tell you that that same Alpha, that same Omega, that same one that's the beginning, he's the first, he's the last, that same one is coming back, and he's going to receive you, and you will answer for all of the works that you've done, every word that you have spoken ever in your lifetime. Are you hearing me? You are going to be responsible for every minute, every second of every day. And if you will not in praise with him, if you will not glorify his name, you are responsible for that time that he's loaned you, that he's given to you. Nobody's greater. Nobody's greater than God. Our scripture is James 4 and with chapter 8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's talking to all of us. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. 9 says, lament and mourn with weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. and we will lift you up. 11 says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let's read that last verse again. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. To God, that's sin. You know the word. You know that you're supposed to be doing better than this. You know that you're supposed to be making a mark here. You know you're supposed to be taking it at the time that he's given you. But if you're choosing not to do that, if you're allowing the world to be a part of your life, a part of your being, a part of your spirit, that you're so consumed with the world, enjoying the world, your enjoyment is only temporarily. I come to remind you, to God, that is sin. We're talking about tonight finding purpose in your alone time. We want to break down some of the barriers of maybe why it is to keep us from getting alone, spending that alone time with God. Maybe we don't understand the purpose of spending that alone time. We sometimes cannot put that in our mind and our thoughts. We can understand that a husband and a wife must spend valuable time together. We write books on communication. It's on the radio. It's on the internet. It's on TV. We must communicate to make it a successful marriage. Mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, they must communicate, teachers and students, in order to make a successful union. But why is it that we cannot understand the concept that we must also do the same thing in order to have a purposeful communion with our Creator? Well, let's take a look at it, shall we? This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. Again, 646-652-4916. And you can reach me at walkwithme@aol.com. The ultimate purpose of spending time with God is just to commune with God. Just to commune with God. I thank you, Jesus, for the word he's given us tonight. What a powerful word. As a matter of fact, we delayed the show tonight because he just kept giving me more and more and more of the word. So I can tell you right now, this is definitely going to be have to continue on, okay? But our ultimate purpose of spending time with God is to commune with God. We are made for relationship with God. You have your pen and your paper. Let's do our first scripture. Ecclesiastes 3:11. And thus, in order to have fullness of joy, it said man is made for relationship with God. So if we're made to be in relations with God, then in order for us to have the fullness of joy, to be what God wants him to be, we need to cultivate that relationship. Just like a farmer cultivates the ground, the soil, we need to cultivate that relationship. How this is done will make all the difference for making your devotional time a meaningful, edifying, and truly purposeful time. I recently asked a friend of mine, I said, when you? She said, oh, she was looking for something enjoyable to do when she got home from work. And I just asked her, when you get into the Word of God, do you just get that tingly feeling the more that you in it, the more that you just hate to come out of it? Do you get that tingling feeling when you walk into your house and you just, the only thing you want to do is just get into the presence of the Lord? Because you already have been in it all day in some shape or form. I mean, carrying on daily activities in your life, but he's always there with you. So when you come in, you just want to hear the word. You want to sing the word. You want to be able to just relax. That's my relaxation. I could care else what else is going on. I just want to stay in the presence. Then I can get in the world and do what I want to do to help somebody. Hallelujah. And she said, be honest with you, no, I don't. I don't get that feeling. No, I don't. I don't think that that's, you know, when I think of something enjoyable to do. I don't think of that. So I challenged her to try it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Try getting into the Word. Talk to him before. Let him know, God, I just want to be, I want to be thrilled with you. I want to be overjoyed with you. I want to just hear your words. I want to feel your presence. I just want to just be so engulfed with you that it's hard for me to move myself from here. Teach me day by day how to commune with you. Because when you're in communion with the Lord, you want to be edified. You want it to be a meaningful relationship. You want it to be truly a purposeful time. When you're with your spouse and you're sitting down having quality time and you're talking, you want to be able to get up from the table and knowing that you accomplished something. She heard you. You heard her. You received what it was that was trying to give to you. You want to know that you were in true communication. You can say, we talked about that. I know your feelings on that subject because we have jumped in there real deep, and we understand. I understand your feelings. I understand your word, and how you want me to live is the way that we're supposed to be talking to Christ after we have been in communication with him. We just read James 4 and 8. Again, it says, if we draw near to God, this is only what I was asking my friend. If she would just draw near to God, he will draw near to you. See, the reason we must have time with God, the reason why we must have time with God is just because God asks us to. And if he says that we need to be in communion with him, then we need to be. He says we need to have time set aside. Him, we need to. He puts the responsibility right back on us to make the first move to reach to him and drawing near, because he wants us to want him. He wants us to love him. And so he waits for us with his arms wide open. Open arms, hoping that we would just run to him. Every time that we detour and we run to our friends, we run to the liquor store. I can't wait to get off of work. Let me go, let me just go to the liquor store. Let me just go and do this, and let me just go and do that. And he's waiting patiently for us to find that relaxation with him. Hallelujah. Yeah, he wants you to live life, enjoy life. It all starts with knowing the true source of enjoyment. It all starts with knowing the true source of peacefulness, of protectionness. Not waiting till you're out there in the midst of a battle and then you're hollering, protect me, O Lord. I need some joy, O Lord. Hallelujah. But he wants us to want him. He's waiting for us to want him. He's waiting for us to love him. for us to realize that we need him. Hallelujah. And then the promise for us is sheer, that if we draw near to him, I love the promise. That's his promise to us. He said, I promise you, if you draw near to me, we can always be sure that he will be there for us. We can always be sure that he'll never run away from us. He won't hurt us. He won't ignore us. He won't abandon us. He will listen to us. Oh, my. How many times did you find somebody in conversation with you, and it may even start with them saying, how are you doing? And then the moment you start to tell them how you're doing, they've lost connection. They're no longer listening. They try to run away from you. You know, they even will try to ignore you. They may just straight up just try to hurt your feelings and say, I really didn't even care. Oh, I got something else to do. But he won't abandon you. He will listen to you. That's the promise of God. If you draw near to him, that's the promise of God. If you draw near to him, you can stand on the promise of God. You can trust in the promise of God. He is the perfect friend. What do you need? He's the perfect father. He's the perfect comforter. He's the perfect healer. You need a lawyer. He's the perfect lawyer. You need a doctor. He's the perfect doctor. And he is our perfect leader. We're following behind so many things that we think should be leaders for whatever reason. Maybe their father was a leader. Their mother was a leader. They live in a neighborhood that looks like leaders should live in. They have a job title that you say, this must be a leader. But he is the perfect leader. A lot of the things that we get confused about, and then when we end up down the road of destruction, and we can't back out of it, we can't turn, we can't get the U-E to make the U-turn, we're stuck there because we're going to have to cry and ask for help from God's mercy. Because what we thought was leaders turned out to be losers. He's the perfect leader. And he always has all the time we could ever need. The time that he's given to us for us, given by him just for us. So there's no limited supply. He has all the time that we need. In addition, he has the power to effect change. You need change in your life? You're tired of stumbling over the same stumbling blocks? You know, one of the best things that can happen to you sometimes is to just get tired. It's a dangerous place to be when you're comfortable. In whatever stage of life you're in, when you get comfortable, that's when you get stagnant. It's a dangerous place to be when you're just comfortable in whatever you, even on your job, in your relationship. So you just get to a point that you're comfortable. You need to be to a place where you need change. You want something. You're tired. You're tired of the same potholes that you're falling in over and over again. You're tired of doing nothing. You're tired of saying the same thing. You're tired of preaching the same words to the same people. You're tired. When you get fed up, that's when it's time that you can move. You start looking around. You want a different avenue. You try to travel down a different path. That's when you're looking for the true leader, and that's when you can find him. We see you in the chat room. God bless you. God bless you. Have a prayer. Let us know. But he always has time for us. And he has the only one that has the power that is able to effect change in your life, to move the mountains that you've been pushing up against for so long, and to truly impact our lives immediately. Somebody said, I need you right now, God. I need you right now. I need to feel your spirit right now. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. I need to hear from you. And until we understand that some of the things that we're doing and some of the predicaments that we're in is because of our actions, stop blaming everybody else for where you're at right now. But when we understand that it's because of us, the actions that we have betrayed, the actions we have lived has got us where we're at, then we can stop and look back and say, why am I still stuck here? How do I get out of here? How can I move? How can I make a change in my life, Father? We need some immediate action. His power is able to do that for you. He has the perfect power that will able to give you personable, direct healing right now. Whatever situation you're in, you say, I need you to just be personable to me right now. That's why he has his arms open wide, waiting for you to run into those arms. Because he wants to truly impact your life right now. It's such a privilege for us to be children of God. I repeat, it's a privilege to be a child of God. A child of God who can approach the sovereign of the entire world to move to meet our needs. He will move, shake up things. If he has to send a tornado, whatever way he wants to meet our needs. It's a privilege to be a child of God. And when we come to realize that life is about relationship with God, we will get the most out of our relationship and our devotional time. When we start to think that life is merely about doing things for God or rather than enjoying God, the God who does his works in us and through us, then we start to lose our joy and our first love when we start to think that, you know, life is merely about just, you know, doing things for God. I didn't treat nobody bad today. You know, if I saw somebody hungry, I threw them a piece of bread. You know, I helped the kids today. I wasn't mean to nobody. I let that car in traffic today. I'm just doing things, you know, doing things for God. But we're not enjoying God. So who are you serving? Look around and see what you're enjoying the most right now in your life. And it won't be too hard for you to identify who you're serving. That is your God. I think somebody would be surprised if you just truly stand up and be woman enough, be man enough, to look at yourself and examine yourself and find where you're finding the most enjoyment in your life right now. When are you the happiest? Who are you with when you're the happiest? You can put no one over God. You cannot serve two gods. He said you would love one and hate the other. You hate the fact that you got to stop doing something to go do something for Christ. You hate the fact that someone's calling you for prayer right in the midst of your conversation, right in the midst of your movie, right in the midst of when you was heading to the club, right in the midst of you getting ready to drink another drink. You will love one and you will hate the other. You cannot serve two gods. So when we come to realize that life is more about a relationship than God, than trying to just do something for God, it's more about enjoying God, then that's when, and only then when we can get the most out of our devotional time. That's when we get the most out of our devotional time. Hallelujah. I think we're going to stop right there just for the lack of time. And we're going to go ahead and pick up here on tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I think we might just do a double session tonight. So that would leave us tomorrow night. We're going to actually come back on, I think, in about an hour. We're going to come back on and finish this up. And then we will be back then on Sunday. Amen? Amen. Well, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for preparing our plates for us tonight, dear Father. And as we sup, dear Father, your word tonight, we ask that as it enters into our spirit, that it just stick and hold on to something, and that it is shake loose all the negativity and the things that we've been doing, dear Father, for years and years and years upon years that are not about your will. It's not about edifying the kingdom. And now that we take the word and now that it is in our spirit, we just ask you to massage it all over us, dear Father. And moment by moment, second by second, let us grow. Let our eyes begin to see things a little bit different. When we hear the things that we've been used to hearing, whether it's gossip or whatever it is, we ask you, Father, that it's not as edifying to us as it was before. The things that we've just been satisfying and giving us the most satisfaction in life, dear Father, may those things become dull to us, and may they be replaced with you. May you be the real source of our happiness, the real source of our satisfaction. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, and we thank you for your time. We just thank you for all that you've given to us. We give you praise. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, for my mother, Miss Annie Pearl Harwell, for my brother, T. Reggie DeConcelin. We thank you, Jesus, for my sisters, Dee and Barbara. Thank you for my kids, LaMeka, JD, and always loving memories for my son, James. I love you, James. My heart never stops mourning for you. I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Always, never want to forget. And for my grandkids, Tatiana, Nathaniel, and Janelle, and the one on the way, sister-in-laws, brother-in-laws, daughter-in-law, we bless you all, nieces and nephews alike. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I come to you with a sincere heart because I try truly every day. I may not succeed, and you may look at me and say, you're not succeeding in every way. But I truly try to live my life for Christ. I truly try to be an example for Christ. We spoke about following the wrong people. I truly want to be a true leader, that you can watch my walk, not just on Sundays, not just while I'm at work, but wherever I may be, that you can watch my walk and watch that I'm trying to walk like Christ. That I want to be an example for my kids. I live and I stand an example, and I think about the actions before I do them. How would that affect LaMeka? How would it affect JD? Their parents, what they see in me, if they choose to grab a hold to it, it's their choice. But if they choose not, it's not because they didn't have an example to look at. If they choose to grab a hold of it, they will pass it on to their kids. We will see the same things in their kids as we see in them, as we see in me, as we see in Christ. So from the head, our Father, and as we go down for every generation, if you look at your life and you see that it's a bump, that you're not living your life as Christ, you can believe your kids is not. If you have young ones, they're watching you. The greatest gift you can give your child is to be on fire for the Lord. If you have grown kids and they're not, you just keep on living and walking your walk. It's their choice. They're held accountable. But don't let them stop you from walking your walk. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like to take the time to ask you to repeat the words after me. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. And Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just pray that prayer, it's important that you reach out and tell someone of your decision to follow Christ. Congratulations to you. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things now are new in your life, according to the words of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "For all of heaven is celebrating with you. God has you on his mind. You have a brand new life with Jesus and a bright future filled with hope and love." You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also reach me here on the Blog Talk Radio. But there's nobody greater than Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow or later at the next broadcast. God bless you. We love you.